another edition of Bengals Beat Podcast. This time, we've watched a little training camp. I'm Lindsay Patterson.
What's up? This is Tyler Dragon.
Kareem Elgazar producing today.
Plenty to get to, just in case you missed it. Of course, everybody knows what happened at Welcome Stadium with AJ Green. Unfortunately, rumors kept happening. Sources were reporting what his injury could possibly be. And Zach Taylor let reporters know this week that more than likely we will be without AJ Green for two regular season games. They're hoping that's just it. And that was to be expected, you guys.
Yeah, I was about 25 yards away from the play. A.J. Green was running a go route. Andy Dalton threw him a pass, and he and Dre Kirkpatrick both went up for the ball and landed awkwardly. A.J. Green landed on his left foot. Dre landed on his shoulder, and they were both actually banged up on the play. And A.J. Green, he stayed on the ground for a little while, and everybody was holding their collective breaths, and it didn't look good because you can kind of see he was really favoring that ankle. And then he got up for a little while, and then he limped to the bench, and the medical staff was checking him out. It wasn't a good scene. However, it's not a broken ankle. He has surgery on some ligaments damage in his ankle, and he is expected, like you said, to miss a couple weeks. It's a tough blow. However, he is going to be back, I think, week three, week four, that Monday night matchup. I'm really circling week four in Pittsburgh. So I think A.J. Green will be back around that time. He had surgery on Tuesday, a day before his 31st birthday. So he spent his 31st birthday kind of medicated a little bit. However, Andy Dalton did call him on his birthday, wish him happy birthday, and he said that Green was in good spirits, and he actually called him Wolverine with his recovery process.
You know, they're gonna need him on that Monday night game. I mean, if that's what really they should target. You know, you always talk about don't want to rush any player back. You definitely don't want to rush AJ Green, you know, the premier player on the team. But if they can get him back for that week, was it week four? Is that right?
Yeah, week four
at
Pittsburgh
Monday night. That's what you probably want to circle on the schedule if you're the coaching staff and if you're fans. That's the ideal scenario.
And that actually gives him, that specific week gives him an extra day since it's Monday night. So you have an extra day of practice. The week three game is at Buffalo, so that could be a gimme game anyways. Bengals have a better roster on paper, let me specify that, on paper, than the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be in Buffalo, so it might be a little tough. However, I do think the Bengals can pull that game off against the Bills.
And speaking of wide receivers, I kind of want to go back to, and it's going to sound so training camp like, but you look at other receivers stepping up, and we saw it last season. Fans wanted Auden Tate on that 53-man roster pretty much every week when they were dealing with any injuries on the wide receiver offensive weapon side. Tyler Boyd and Josh Malone, and I know we talked about this over on Cincinnati.com after camp on Sunday, but they were both in a little huddle together. It was an intimate huddle, and Tyler Boyd was talking about what Josh Malone could do, that opportunity. Tyler Boyd speaking from experience. You know, he had a down couple years, and then the breakout year in 2018, he gets his extension. He let Josh Malone, you can be that guy when the opportunity presents itself. You can be the guy that can step up. And last year, that's the thing, though. Last year in training camp, we watched Josh Malone step up and thinking, this guy's really, you know, he can be a part of this offense. It's really going to be interesting what he can do offensively for the Bengals in 2018 if he does get those opportunities. And we never really saw that from Josh Malone, unfortunately. But you have to be the guy that steps up now. And I think with that wide receiver group, you have three guys that could get some opportunities.
I am seeing the receivers kind of rising up to the challenge without AJ Green. Now, granted, it's just the first week of training camp, and pads were just done. There's only been one day of pads, so it's hard to really evaluate and see how these guys are going to perform. However, Josh Malone has been doing well in training camp, and I do have, like you mentioned, I do have to give Auden Tate a shout out. He was doing well. He caught a couple balls there yesterday, and Damian Willis, he probably had the best catch of all of training camp. He had a one-handed catch on one-on-one drills on Wednesday. So keep an eye out on those receivers. They are rising up to the occasion. As you mentioned, Josh Malone and Tyler Boyd, they are taking the majority of the first team reps. And Josh Malone, he's saying all the right things. He acts like he wants to rise up to the challenge. And He's going to have to. A.J. Green is not walking through that door week one or week two.
I mean, going into training camp, I really think that even with A.J. Green healthy and on the roster, you know, the wide receiver room was a little thin anyway. I mean, you go back to the draft, and they're like, oh, you know, the Bengals need to draft a wide receiver was the conventional thought. So now it's even thinner, and my point being is that the opportunity for Josh Malone and the other wide receivers, not lower down on the pecking order, has always been there, and it's there even more now. I know, Tyler, you were impressed with Josh Malone's performance yesterday with the pads on.
Yeah, I was really impressed with his performance, and not even just yesterday with the pads on, the days when they just had shells and shorts. He's been performing well. Andy Dalton's been looking his way early and often. He's hasn't dropped, by my calculation, hasn't dropped a pass. He's been able to separate from coverage. He runs good routes. He gets in and out of his breaks well. So he's performing well. And I would be remiss if I did not mention John Ross.
Oh, John Ross.
Now, John Ross hasn't practiced yet. He has a tight hamstring. However, this is another receiver that we've seen can do some things in limited opportunities. He had a pretty good season last year, bounced back from his rookie year, has 7 touchdown catches. We know he's a speedster, arguably the fastest man in the NFL. I think it goes to Tyreek Hill, but John Ross is probably number 2. When he gets back healthy, I think this is an opportunity for him to shine. He can be that receiver on the outside. He can stretch the defense and win over-the-top matchups. So, John Ross, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on him if there hasn't been already.
And I think with John Ross, I want to go back to that a little bit because he kind of reminds me, injury-wise, of a little Tyler Eifert. I wonder if he is healthy and he gets back from that hamstring injury right now. I know it's minor, but when he does come back, if they're going to treat him and Tyler Eifert with minimal reps, the red zone guys, only use them when you really have to. I know you need wide receivers to step up. You're going to need Tyler Eifert out there. He's a game changer down out in the field. But I just wonder if they will use those guys on a minimal basis on reps, if that makes sense.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I don't think you use him on the red zone because he has the abilities to stretch the defense over the top. I'm talking about John Ross.
Yeah, his speed is...
So just using him the 20-yard line within, that kind of minimizes what he can do on offense. You want to use him all throughout the field because he has the ability to blow by defensive backs. So if you're just giving him 20 yards to operate, it kind of limits what he does best, and that is running and speed. And the Bengals, they want to be cautious with him because with a hamstring injury, you don't want those to linger too often. And with speed guys, if you have a bad hamstring, that's going to negate your best ability, and that speed.
Going into training camp, they've always needed John Ross, right? Okay. Even A.J. Green healthy, not healthy, they've always needed John Ross to play. I mean, they spent a first-round pick on John Ross. That's a lot of draft capital to be limited in a role similar to what we expect that Tyler Eifert is going to be in. So basically my point is they better not do that.
No. I say that more on his just injury history
Of course,
I mean,
but even
you
so,
want him out there. But.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first round pick, a lot of draft capital. Even with the injury history, they better not do that because they don't, you might have the wide receiver room is so thin already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They need him to play.
Yes.
They do need him to play and risk it. I think one game that sticks out for him even last year, and I'm actually going to go a little bit to preseason, Cream, against the Bills when he burnt the corner for the touchdown.
I was there, last season, covering that game at the Bills, and that is exactly they were trying to send a message.
Yeah.
They got John Ross to, take the top off the defense, and here he goes, and he made a nice little double move after the catch to score the touchdown. That is what they need, especially now with A.J. Green down. So they better not limit him. And I'm talking as an objective observer of the team, but also a little bit of, I'm a Cincinnati guy.
Yeah.
They better play him.
He's the only guy on the roster healthy that is a legit deep threat.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be healthy. And so that's why, it's just the first week of training camp.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to push the alarms right now. He seems in good health when he's walking around the locker room and when he's walking around the practice facility. However, you know, like I said, when you have those tight hamstrings, when you have, you know, a little hammy issue, you just want to err on the side of caution. And I believe the Bengals are doing that with him right now because it's early and they want him to be able to play when these games count.
And I'm more cautious with him.
The old adage is you got to practice to play, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I know Zach Taylor is obviously he's a young guy, he's a new school coach, so maybe that doesn't apply. But if you want to see the field, John, you got to practice. So, you know, it's important, particularly to get those reps, to get to know what you're doing on the field with your teammates. So you're ready week one to contribute meaningfully to the team.
And definitely with A.J. Green out, you're going to need a guy like John Ross to come back. But I just feel like they're going to be a little cautious maybe when we go into preseason and just start the season with him. I don't agree with the criticism from fans when they call him a bust. I don't think we've had enough time with John Ross really out there in regular season to see him out there. But the criticism for his injuries are fair at times because they really haven't seen much out of him.
Tight hammy from what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you got to know your body a little bit in the offseason.
Anyway.
And speaking of offense right now, Joe Mixon, and I feel like the running back is, you know, he's proven some good points out there. But he said after training camp on Tuesday that this offense can compete like the Rams offense. He said that they're a nightmare. You know, they do have a lot of weapons. You have a guy like Tyler Eifert. When A.J. Green is healthy, he's still a huge weapon, one of the best receivers in the AFC and AFC North when he is out there. And you have Joe Mixon, a guy who led the AFC last year on the ground and is one of the best NFL running backs. I feel like he can back himself up because he is one of the best players, but what do you guys think about that?
I love his confidence. Joe Mixon, he is talking a great game right now in training camp. He believes he's an upper echelon running back. He believes he's everyday Pro Bowl type running back. And you have to admire that. You need to go into the season like that. And he's going to need to perform like that with A.J. Green sidelined. The Bengals are going to go to him early and often, whether it's running the football, whether it's passing the football. And he's going to have to perform like the running back he says and what he knows he is.
I think Joe Mixon needs to be the focal point of this offense.
Of 100%.
Even with A.J. Green, even with, Tyler Eifert and the other weapons, he needs to be the focal point of this offense. And I think, we talk about Zach Taylor and his, coming from the Rams, and they made, Gurley the focal point of the offense. That is a good comparison, I think. But Mixon in, the training camp that I saw, the practice yesterday, guy was incredible yesterday. He was physical. He was finding holes. Obviously, the defense couldn't quite tackle him.
Yeah.
But, he was definitely breaking away and showing that explosive, elusive ability, not only to be patient and find the holes, find the running lanes, but then break free. That is what separates, in my opinion, in my view, the good running backs from the great running backs. Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell. These guys, they wait, they see the hole, and then they bust it. That's what Mixon showed yesterday and showed it in the past. He needs to be the focal point of this offense.
Yeah, he came into camp in great shape, and it is showing on the field. It showed on the field yesterday, the first day in pads. Like you said, he was breaking tackles. He was elusive. He was finding the hole, making quick decisions, and running upfield with good speed. So I am expecting a lot out of Joe Mixon. He needs to be the focal point of this offense, whether it's in the run game or in the pass game. And you can't forget about Geo. They have a quality running back to spell him at times. However, it is Joe Mixon that needs to be the centerpiece of this offense.
And just speaking of offensive pieces, if Tyler Eifert stays healthy, CJ Uzama has a year like he did last year when he got the chance to step up in 2018. As you mentioned, Geo, Joe Mixon, still a lot of sparks, a lot of guys out there who can make plays. I think the best player on the team right now, if A.J. Green is sidelined for the first two regular seasons, if he can talk the talk because he can back it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He led the AFC in rushing last year. He has the skill set to be one of the best running backs in the game. I mean, there's a handful of great running backs in the National Football League, and he has the skill set to be there. I mean, you got Todd Gurley, you got the Ezekiel Elliott, you got the Melvin Gordons, you got the Taquan Barkley's. I mean, Joe Mixon's right up in there. He's right up in there, and he can be a top five, top eight running, definitely top eight running back in the National Football League. And he's gonna need, the Bengals need him to be that. They need every bit of 1,000-yard rushing, and they need 400-500 yards receiving from him as well.
And I think we've talked about the O-line enough. I know a lot of people point to it when they look at 2018, what Joe Mixon was able to do last year behind that O-line. It's better than it was in 2018 and 2019, so it'll be interesting what they can do. And speaking of the O-line, a lot of people going into camp, everybody a couple days in, full pads. They want to know, what does that O-line look like right now? Christian Westerman, fans love him. The Westerman Hive out there on social media, getting some first team reps. They're playing a little musical chairs, what I like to say about the Bengals offensive line. What does it look like to you guys?
Yeah, I actually had a story about the O-line today that went up on Cincinnati.com, so go check that out. As for Westerman, he looked okay yesterday. He had a false start, and he got subbed out for John Jerry on one play. Zach Taylor told me that they were going to switch that left guard position every 2 or 3 days. So it's not solidified yet. John Jerry is going to start a couple practices, and then they're going to switch to Westerman for a couple practices. So that is the plan for the Bengals right now. That is specifically what Zach Taylor told me. Jerry started the first couple preseason games, albeit no pads, and then you had Westerman start the first day in pads. And again, he, in my opinion, he performed okay. I don't like that false start. And the coaches noticed that because he got subbed out the very next play for the new left guard, John Jerry. I believe at this point, Jerry is the better left guard. However, Westerman does have the ability. He's a younger guy. He does have a higher ceiling at this point because Jerry, he's been in the league a while, and he's 33 years old. So,
oh, John Jerry's that old?
Yeah.
I did not know
he's
that.
He's 33.
I knew he was a pro and a veteran, but I didn't know he was.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
I saw him yesterday, and he was, you know, in terms of a physical specimen, he is impressive. In terms of the offensive line, based on what I've seen in just the limited practices from training camp, I think the jury's still out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm not focusing in on the super details like you are, Tyler, it just seems that, you know, we still don't have all our players ready to play. I'm speaking about Billy Price here. I was surprised to see him not in pads yesterday. I think the jury's still out a little bit based on what I've seen, in my opinion, on the offensive line.
Of course.
they do have some, like we've talked about, they have some players that they can work in. It's not like they're short.
The jury's all the way out with your first day in pads.
Yeah, right.
can't really examine and analyze mm-hmm. these players when you just had, one day in pads. It's like your first day at work. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know that specific player all the way fine-tuned and be able to analyze somebody after one day, after a few 11-on-11 drills.
It's fair to say we really won't know until maybe almost that third preseason game when we see more of the starters out there getting the majority of the reps, and it could take 1 to 2 regular season games when you look at that O-line and some new guys playing on it. So that is to be determined, guys, but what is confirmed, the NFL's top 100, everybody likes to argue those player rankings. I mean, if you just read the mentions on social media, I don't agree with that top 10, but we're going to focus locally. A.J. Green and Geno Atkins. A.J. Green, 58. Geno, 79. How are you guys feeling about those rankings?
Kareem, do you want to get started in this? Because I got a lot to say.
No, go fire it off, man. Go ahead.
So let me get started with A.J. Green. A.J. Green was ranked 58th on the list. 11 receivers were ranked ahead of A.J. Green. That is so disrespectful. Like 11 receivers.
11. Name a handful.
Juju Smith-Schuster? Really? And do not tell me that Adam Thielen is better than AJ Green. Really? Nah. I can't do it. I can't. And okay, do you want to say something before I get to Geno?
Well, I mean, with AJ Green 58 in the previous year, he was ranked 22nd. I think 58 is a little low. I don't think it's outrageously low.
11 receivers ahead of him?
I know. I think he's probably right now overall, a 6-7 ranking overall. I think he should be somewhere in the 30s, something like that, mid-30s, given everything that, I understand that we're not talking, when they make these rankings, they're not talking about injuries or anything like that. They're just talking about the pure ability. So I think he's a little low. Not not outrageously brutally low. He should be, like I said, in the mid-30s.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind, you know, the Julios, the Antonio Browns.
100%.
The Odell Beckhams, maybe even the Keenan Allens ahead of him. But when you're talking about Adam Thielen and Juju Smith-Schuster, come on.
But AJ Green, believe it or not, he's looking at that stuff. He might not say it bothers him, but he's looking at that stuff. And yeah, we know he's going to be sidelined for the first two regular season games. He sees it. He knows he can light it up.
Yeah, I hope that lights a fire under him, and I hope that motivates him, because there ain't no way in the world AJ Green is the 11th best football, the 11th best receiver in the National Football League. So let's go on the defense end. Side now.
Geno
was ranked 79th. Now, there were three defensive tackles ranked ahead of him. Now, I have no problem with Aaron Donald ranked ahead of him. Aaron Donald was ranked number one on the top 100 list. He, in my opinion, is the best football player in the National Football League, and I don't think it's close. He dominates his position easily. And then you got Cox in Philadelphia. Yes, I mean, if I'm being unbiased here, you got to keep it real. I think Cox is better than Geno Atkins at this point. But Hakeem Hicks, come on, the Bears defensive tackle, I can't do it. I can't say that he's better than Geno Atkins.
Well, so, Hakeem Hicks was what, in the 50s, something like that overall? I think
50s or 60s, yeah. I don't have it ingrained in my head, like, because it was just wrong, so I'm not going to have wrong information in my head. So Geno Atkins, I do think that, like I said, Aaron Donald and Cox are better. However, 79, I think that's a little bit low for him. I would like him in the top maybe 60, top 65.
That's what with Geno Atkins, it might not even be position for me. I just think he should be higher.
Yeah.
I think his number's definitely higher, and I agree with you. 60, maybe, you know, late 50s.
Got a lot of Pro Bowls in that resume, and he's still the best player on the Bengals defense. So, yeah, 79. Hopefully this sparks and motivates the Bengals. I know Joe Mixon was tweeting about the top 100 yesterday. He wasn't even ranked. So I hope, as an athlete, that motivates all the players, because they should want to be in that list. They should want to be recognized as one of the top 100 football players in the National Football League. And if that doesn't motivate you, then you have to check out, you know, why you playing.
All right, it's ranked based on your peers.
Yeah.
Okay, social media time. Again, send your questions via Twitter every week over on our Insta page, ENQ Bengals. I'm going to pull out a couple right now, and it's all been really rookie talk. Yeah, we've talked wide receivers, O-line, all that fun stuff. So I filtered through it, and I kind of focus more on the rookies, what we're seeing in training camp. And if I butcher your Twitter name, you can hammer me on social media. I apologize in advance. WS_Thomasulo, he said about four days into camp, he wants to know what we're going to see from rookie Drew Sanders. With right now Tyler Eifert and CJ Uzomah healthy at tight end.
CJ and Tyler are going to get the bulk of the reps and the bulk of the opportunity. Sample right now, he's made some good catches. He's made some plays in training camp. He specifically had a few out routes that I saw him get a couple balls on. He's going to be right now more of a blocking tight end. He's more NFL ready in that aspect. His route running isn't up the par yet. He doesn't have good speed, you can't really teach speed. However, I do believe eventually he'll be more of a threat in the passing game as the season goes on. Early on, it's going to be all CJ and all Tyler at that tight end position.
Yesterday, you know, just to dovetail on what you were saying there, I completely agree on all those observations you made of Drew. One thing is, like, you know, again, the defense couldn't really tackle, but they can kind of bump and use their hands a little bit. And in the few catches that he had, he showed strong hands.
Yeah.
He collect when the ball's thrown and he got his hands on it, he collects it and it's in his grasp. He has good strong hands from the observations I saw yesterday of Drew.
All right, I'm going to go back to Twitter. Eli wants to know, and this is going to be a pretty, pretty easy answer. Speaking of those rookies, emerging linebackers, when you look at that linebacker room right now, still depleted, guys coming back from injuries, and a chance for rookies to step up. Who do you guys feel?
I think it's an obvious answer. Jermaine Pratt has been very good so far in training camp, and he wants to be good. I see him working after practice with the coaches, talking to the coaches. He's seeking tutelage from the veteran linebackers like Preston Brown. He's playing well right now, and he's already performing with the second unit. He's calling plays on the defense with the second unit. He's flying around at the ball. He's doing good in individual drills. So right now my eyes are on Jermaine Pratt. He has an opportunity to get a lot of playing time this year.
And he's dropped back in coverage a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they need, because Preston Brown can't do it. Vigil's okay, but they need Jermaine Pratt, you know, to drop back into coverage, and he's shown that ability to do it.
Yeah. I think that linebacker room is going to be interesting when they do announce the 53-man roster, because I still look at guys like Malik Jefferson from last year. I know he battled an injury late, but he really never got on the field, and he never really looked comfortable in training camp and at practice. So I think that one's still a big question mark, and even if he does make the team, where he will.
And Jordan Evans, too, they need him big time.
Yeah, early on, Malik is getting third-team reps. Mm-hmm. Jordan is getting second team reps. He and Pratt are both practicing with the second team. It is early. That can change. I do see Pratt with the second team. I think that spot is pretty safe. However, I don't know on the other side. The Bengals usually operate with two linebacker sets, so Jordan Evans is probably in the lead right now. We'll see how Malik continues to perform in training camp.
And we'll end our social media questions over here, over on the Instagram. Again, send them on ENQ Bengals. Nathan Graham wants to know, Trayvon Williams, what are we going to see from him?
Trayvon Williams looked really good as a running back yesterday. I kind of labeled him as a young Geo. Now, granted, again, a couple days.
It's training camp. Everything you say is facts.
A couple days, and first day in pass. He caught a couple passes out there in the flat. He had a lot of opportunity to run the football. I know he was tired yesterday because the second team was using him ad nauseum. I mean, they were handing him the rock so many times. I mean, just on the first 11-11 series alone with the second team, he had three run plays.
What I saw from him yesterday, he's physical. Physical running right up the gut. There was some, you know, when I was taking pictures yesterday, you know, I was looking through my edit, looking through my take, and I'm like, this guy's got, you know, defenders chasing him. You know, there was two frames that I got yesterday. The defense was chasing him. Obviously, again, they couldn't tackle, but he's not afraid of contact. He's not afraid of running it right up the gut.
Yeah, and he, at 5'8", you know, he's low to the ground. It's hard to tackle. And Andy Dalton even complimented him yesterday. He said he looked good out there yesterday with first day of pass done. So I am expecting good things out of him in both the run game again and the pass game. I'm interested to see what happens when preseason comes around, because he's going to get a lot of opportunities to show himself in the preseason.
Tyler, what do you have up on Cincinnati.com?
What I have up on Cincinnati.com, as I previously mentioned, I have a story on the offensive line, John Jerry Westerman, and see how they're going to perform this year. Like I said, John Jerry has the edge right now, in my opinion, so we'll see how that goes. And I have a couple stories that I'm not going to reveal yet that are going to drop later on this
exclusives.
Week. Exclusives
over here on the BBP, and Kareem has some fire shots. I was looking at him this morning. Everybody likes a gallery, and he's had plenty up on Cincinnati.com, so go check that out. Where can everybody follow you guys?
At the Tyler Dragon on Twitter.
You can follow me on Twitter at El Ghazar Boulevard. Boulevard is BLVD.
I like that you spelled that out.
That's right. That's good. Next time. Next time I'll spell my last name out.
People need that.
The previous time I didn't spell anything out, so this time I gave him BLVD, and then if they listen, they continue to listen, I'll spell my last name out.
Okay. Thank you for listening to another BBP. We'll be back every week getting into that preseason game number one next week. You can follow me over on at LNDS Patterson. Make sure you download, subscribe, and go to Cincinnati.com. Thanks for joining us on another edition of BBP.
See y'all later.